الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again through His infinite mercy, infinite kindness, has afforded us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we make dua to Allah ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. He gives us the tawfiq of coming early to the house of Allah on the day of Jumu'ah, and Allah ta'ala make it such that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah, and may Allah ta'ala make it such that the last day of our earthly life is this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Last week we were speaking about business ethics and the importance of having ethics as far as business is concerned and its relationship with barakah, how we can bring barakah in our lives. And we spoke on a few things. Some of the things that we spoke about was honesty, transparency in one's business. We spoke about starting the day early. We spoke about maintaining family ties. We spoke about showing kindness and courtesy. So following on that, today we'll speak about something also that's related. This concept about debt, D-E-B-T, where does debt fit in Islam, and how does Islam look upon debt, and where does, or what is the philosophy of Islam as far as debt is concerned, D-E-B-T. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is such that to the extent that a man keeps debt in front of him, D-E-A-T-H, to the extent that he keeps debt in front of him, to that extent he'll be averse to D-E-B-T, debt. Why? Because he doesn't want to pass away owing anybody anything. And that was the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, in this time and age we are staying in, this DEBT, this debt has become so common, it's as though we have forgotten death, the real death, the passing away, where we have to leave this dunya and go. So this debt, this DEBT has become so common. Everyone is getting into it, or many people are getting into it, not even realizing that what will my condition be if I have to leave this dunya, or else I'm owing somebody money. What is the philosophy of Islam? What is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as far as a person going into debt is concerned? Let us just look at a few ahadith and a few incidents that had occurred in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal-maghram. O Allah Ta'ala, save me from sin. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making this dua that O Allah Ta'ala, save me from sin and save me from being consumed by debt. A sahabi comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much dua you are making to be saved from being consumed by debt. In other words, like, it's such a serious thing. You are making so much of dua to be saved from this debt. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then explained that when a man is consumed by debt, he'll make promises and he'll break his promises. He'll speak and then he'll speak lies. In other words, a person will make promises, I'll pay you and I'll pay you at this date, and he will want to, but nothing happens. How often you find people, sometimes a person will come and say that the man is so wealthy and he's owing me money, but yet he's not paying. Every now and then he's getting a new car, and if you go to ask him, he'll say, no, I picked up a luck, that's the word he'll use, but he's still not paying what he owes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us, one of the side effects of debt is what? A person will speak and he'll speak lies. A person will make promises and he'll break his promises because of debt. Debt is not something that Sharia and the philosophy of Islam likes at all. Obviously, except where there is absolute need and absolute necessity. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Sahaba Muhammad bin Jahsh radiallahu anhu, is the narrator of this hadith. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam looked up to the sky. He took his hand and placed it on his forehead and he said, what a serious matter has been revealed. We Sahaba were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we remained silent. This was the akhlaq and the adab that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam was speaking about something important, they would remain silent. They would be afraid to even talk out of etiquette and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, the next day, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad bin Jahsh radiallahu anhu. He said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that what was the serious matter you were speaking about that was revealed to you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, took an oath in Allah ta'ala, Walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadi. I take an oath in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose hand is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My life is in Allah ta'ala's hand. I take an oath that if a man is killed in the path of Allah, in other words, he's in jihad and he's martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's given life again, and he's martyred again for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's given life again, and for the third time he's martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this person meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a condition that he's owing money, he has debts, this person will not enter Jannah until his debts are paid. Now imagine becoming shaheed in the path of Allah ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. This is the condition, that until and unless his debts are not paid, this person won't enter Jannah. What a serious thing this debt is. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a janazah was brought in front of him to perform. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, is this person owing any money? So it was told to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he's owing 2 dinars. So Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that you all perform the janazah salah of him, I'm not performing the janazah salah. So Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu says, I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I take it upon myself, that I am going to pay these 2 dinars. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then performed the janazah salah. The next day I went and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I paid these 2 dinars on his behalf. What was owing, I paid it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, now his skin has been cooled. Oh, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So is that something minor? Is that something small? Should we just be engaging in that? I need to do a facelift. I need to do upgrade to my car. There's a new model that's out. It's okay. I can just approach the bank. The bank will finance it. We'll take out some loan. Is that something a Muslim? Forget about the halal and haram aspect of taking loans. That is a different issue. Just the philosophy of taking debt upon oneself. Look at what Islam is teaching us and look at what we are practicing today. So therefore, under this hadith, I quoted this hadith of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullah alayhi, great, great muhaddith. He explains in his Fathul Bari, the Sharah commentary of Bukhari Sharif, he says, from here we learn that debt is something that a Muslim only gets involved in when there is absolute necessity. Otherwise, a Muslim doesn't get involved into debt at all. Debt is something that he saves himself from. He is very careful that he doesn't get involved in debt. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is the narrator of this hadith. He says, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج فرأى قبة مشرفة فقال ما هذه قال له أصحاب هذه لفلان رجل من الأنصار. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once went out and he saw that one building was built with a dome, and this building, because of its height, it had a dome, it was overarching. In other words, it was overpowering the other buildings, the height of the other buildings. It was going higher than the others. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked this one question, ma hadihi, that what is this? In other words, whose home is this? Who built this? So sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they replied, qala lahu ashabu hadihi li fulani rajulin min al-ansar. Qala fasakata wa hamalaha fi nafsihi hatta idha jaa sahibuha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yusallimu alayhi fi nas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was told that this is the building of a certain sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept quiet. This was his style. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would keep quiet. Very seldom would he tell someone straight on his face what you have done wrong. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to teach sahaba also etiquette, adab. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't say anything at that moment. He just kept quiet. And whatever he had in his mind, he kept it to himself. So when the sahabi had come, he wasn't there at that time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, whose building is this with a dome on the top? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't ask at that moment. But when the sahabi came and made salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أعرض عنه صنع ذلك مرارا حتى عرف الرجل الغضب فيه. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came and made salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just turned away from him. He didn't tell him directly, he just turned away. Until this happened a few times that the sahabi came to make salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away. Now the sahabi knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upset with me. But at that point he didn't know why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset with him. فَشَكَى ذَلِكَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهِ فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُنْكِرُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he went and complained to the other sahaba that I'm finding that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being indifferent towards me. This is my concern. And this wasn't a small thing for sahaba. If they found that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indifferent towards them, it hurt them. It finished them up. Unlike us today, Allah ta'ala save me firstly, that when we go against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it makes no difference to us. We don't think that how we are hurting the feelings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by disregarding his sunnah. This was something that hurt them. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being indifferent towards me. So then when he went and complained to the sahaba, then the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they said, they replied, قَالُوا خَرَجَ فَرَآ قُبَّتَكَ قَالَ فَرَجَعَ الرَّجُلُ إِلَىٰ قُبَّتِهِ فَهَدَمَهَا حَتَّى سَوَّاهَا بِالْأَرْضِ. They told him that Rasulullah sallam saw this dome of yours on top of your building that you built. In other words, you're spending money where you don't need to spend. You're wasting money. So you did this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like it. So that's, they just told him that. What did the sahabi do? Did he go and try and justify himself? Or he could have went and just broke that dome. You know, the dome was something Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like. He could have just broke that dome and left his new building the way he did, or the building that he put up. He could have left it the way he did. What did the sahabi do? He went and he raised that whole building to the ground. That if this building is making my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unhappy, I don't want this whole building. He went and dropped the whole building right down. So this is what he did. He dropped that building. فَخَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَلَمْ يَرَهَا. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and he saw, hey, this building is not here. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, مَا فَعَلَتِ الْقُبَّةِ قَالُوا شَكَى إِلَيْنَا صَاحِبُهَا إِعْرَاضَكَ عَنْهُ فَأَخْبَرْنَاهُ فَهَدَمَهَا. So they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he came and he complained to us that you are being indifferent to him. So we told him, so what he did was he dropped it to the ground. Now look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something for us to take home. That when we want to involve ourselves in debt, one is debt, taking our debt, borrowing, when we don't need, we just want to upgrade the car, upgrade the house, we want to upgrade our holidays. Think of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ama inna kulla bina'in wabalun ala sahibihi illa mala illa mala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, verily, that every amount spent on building, every amount spent on a structure, something that we do all the time, we just want to upgrade, we just want a facelift, the carpet color is not looking nice, our tiles are not looking so nice, let me upgrade. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every amount spent on a building will be a misfortune for a person, except illa mala, yani, illa mala buddha minhu. Every amount spent will be a misfortune, except that amount that was spent out of absolute necessity. Absolute necessity. It wasn't such that I didn't like the color, I didn't like the feel, I didn't like the look, so I'm just spending. I'm spending only when there's an absolute need. Now this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask ourselves, how often we are wasting money on these things? And this is the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, on one occasion I seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah. Nafil salah, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, ghaliban it was tahajjud salah. So she says that it was raining, the roof was leaking. Water was coming into the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The leather mat where he was reading salah upon, that had a hole also. Think of it. It's like the house is leaking. The carpet is torn. The water is coming through that leather mat. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as though I can see him making sajda, as though I can see that water, I still after he's gone from this world, but it's as though I can see that water marks on his head. But he didn't stop him from performing his nafil salah, his tahajjud salah. And he didn't even allow that he must start holding his fabric back, his clothing back. Never mind that got missed, but my salah must be performed properly. That this was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We speak of zuhud. Zuhud means abstinence from this world. That ayat I quoted, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Don't let this worldly life deceive you. When we are getting deceived that I need to upgrade, I need to move on, I need to move with the times, there's a new vehicle that's out, I need to get it. Tell this world, address this world, say, ghurri ghairi. They go deceive someone else. At the end of the day, I want to live the life of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unnecessarily, I don't want to waste money. This was the philosophy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the philosophy of Sahaba. This is the way they would behave. this hadith, famous hadith of Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu. He says, I was the envoy of the Banu al-Mustaliq, and I had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a lengthy hadith, I'll just quote the last part. When Rasulullah, when I came there, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not there, when we had come, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just came after that, the first question he asked is that you'll have something to eat. Teaching us that when visitors come, offer them something, give them something, show courtesy, show kindness. Sometimes today, unfortunately, we just keep a bottle of sweets in the house. Visitors come, we take out the sweets and we give them. But the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you have something to eat? First question he had asked them. And then at that time, there was the shepherd that was going past. And when the shepherd was going past, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the sound of a young lamb. So when he heard the sound, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the shepherd that, what did you give? What did you give birth to? In other words, which animal now was born? So he said a lamb was born. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, in place of that one lamb that was born, slaughter another one. In other words, teaching us the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't want to increase and increase and increase. One was born, slaughter one. And then he tells these people that don't think that I'll be slaughtering the lamb for you. He explains, he said, Lana mi'atu ghanamin. La nuridu an tazida. We have 100 sheep here. We don't want that 100 to become 101. Therefore, we are slaughtering one. In other words, be happy with what you got. What Allah has given us, be happy. This constant desire that I must have more, I must have an upgrade, I must have a better quality. This is not the style of a Muslim. And to constantly want to increase is also not the style of a Muslim. One businessman phoned me not too long ago. So he's telling me my business is in the red. So I asked him, what happened? Are you making losses? He said, no, I'm not making losses. I'm still getting my net of 20 million a month. But compared to last year, I was getting 50 million a month. So I'm gone down to 20. That's why I'm considering myself in the red. Now, a Muslim doesn't look like that all the time. He wants to increase. He's happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. This is what he is. You know, we mentioned once, I'll just mention the incident again, that the wife of Maulana Dawood Paja, rahmatullah alayhi, that she was such a pious woman, Haji Bhai Paja, rahmatullah alayhi. One person had seen Haji Bhai Paja rahmatullahi in a dream, and he's explaining in a dream that Allah Ta'ala has given this woman a very, very high martaba, a very high stage. So when the family just mentioned a few qualities of this woman, this wife of Hazrat Maulana Dawood Paja rahmatullahi, so one of the qualities that she had, from the few qualities, one quality she had was she was always taking care of the poor. She wasn't a wealthy woman, simple woman. She came from a wealthy family, but when she got married, she was in a very simple home. She would fill up waters, 2 liter water bottles, put it in the fridge, and she would give it to the people on the road that are working, the vendors, etc., people that are waiting at a taxi rank. She would give it to them in her own simple way. I was very happy to see this Ramadan when Hafiz al-Quran, who performs Tarawiyah with us, that these bottles, you know, iftar time, the masjid, most masjid give bottles of water. So he asked the muazzin to collect all the bottles, empty bottles in a box, and after Tarawiyah, he would take it away, his wife would fill it up, put it in the fridge, and give all the poor people who are not fasting, obviously, or sometimes in the night go and distribute. There are so many people who will appreciate that bottle of water. So one quality she had, you don't have to be rich to be generous. She would give that bottles of water. Another thing she did is when she got married, she told her husband, every week let us bring a new sunnah in our life. Every week we will practice. If I fall short, you correct me. If you fall short, I will correct you. But let this marriage be a marriage on sunnah. And the third quality she had was this quality of zuhd. She had a very, very old, just one incident of the many things, very, very old fridge. That fridge was leaking also, it was dripping also. But she always told her husband that this thing is still working, there's no need to fix it, there's no need to replace it. Let us just get some electrician or somebody just to fix up the leak, but let us continue with this fridge and freezer. Ask ourselves how often we just don't like the look of something and we want to change it. Was this the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and was this the style of Sahaba? So on one side we've got the philosophy of a Muslim, he doesn't get involved in debt, he doesn't incur unnecessary cost, he doesn't get himself into unnecessary expenditure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ الصَّرْفِ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فِي نَهْرٍ جَارٍ, that be careful of wasting money. Be careful of wasting money even though, sorry, be careful of wastage even though you may be at a bank where water is flowing. You're at the river bank, you're at the edge, you're at the river where the water is flowing. How, we may think to ourselves, how can we be wasting that water? That water is flowing all the time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even there, be careful you don't waste when you buy the flowing water. Can you imagine when we're making wuzu and the water is just running like that? When we're bathing and the water is just running like that? Sometimes we got the lights and the air conditions on in the house and nobody is there also. So therefore Rasulullah is teaching us something very, very important, that be careful of wastage. Al-badadatu min al-iman. Simplicity is part of iman. Let us bring this quality. Now this is on one side of a Muslim. Let us look, inshallah, for these 2 minutes that we have. I'll try and complete and finish in these 2 minutes. Let us look at the philosophy of the West, the culture of the kuffar. Let us look at the banks. What do they strive on? They strive on promoting debt. They strive on marketing debt. You dream it, we will finance it. You think about it, we will finance. You need an upgrade, talk to us, we will do it. And what is the philosophy of Muslim? Don't get into debt. So this is number one. Number two is, if you just look, I'll give you one example. Standard Bank's latest income statement that I've seen, I think it was 2021. Just the highest income item is interest income. 100 billion rand for the year. The 100 billion is 100,000 million is only interest income. Now think to ourselves, how do they thrive on promoting debt? And should a Muslim be investing his money in these places where people are promoting debt? Forget about all the other things, just the philosophy. Can we find the philosophy of Islam in a place that is promoting debt? Should a Muslim go and put his money there? Should he think so narrow-mindedly that there is an organization that is on accountant phone is telling me that people are actually living off the banks now, something that our forefathers never did. Look, think of it, of a big liquor store. It's got all aisles, and one aisle has got the cool drinks, water, juices. Will we just ring fence that aisle and say, now we can invest here because there's one aisle that's offering halal? Will we ever do that? But yet Muslims are putting their money in the banks, and they're saying, yet we look at the operation of the banks, that more than 95% is haram, what they are investing in. But yet we are, in our mind, we are ring fencing. We're saying, no, there's one Sharia division there, we can invest. But we look at it and we'll see that the ownership, the operations, the expenditure, what the networking system, hardware systems, security systems, whatever you want to think of the bank, is owned by the normal conventional bank. They just put one window there, trying to market Sharia products, and we Muslims are so happy to put our money there and we want to live off it. Think about it, do they have the philosophy and the concept of what Islam has? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, رحم الله رجلا سمحان إذا باع وإذا اشترى وإذا ابتدى. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on that person who's lenient, who's kind, when he's purchasing, when he's selling, and when he's demanding money. Ask ourselves, when the bank is demanding money, are they taking more from the client or they're taking less? And what is the spirit of Islam and what is the spirit of the banks? Therefore, let us be very, very careful, dear friends and elders, that when we want to invest our money, put it in that place where not only the text of Islam is permissible, the philosophy of Islam is also found in that organization. Then we will get barakat in our businesses. Then we'll get barakat in our income. Then we'll be living the philosophy and the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.